With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now, Grant Napier.
And hi again, everybody. We welcome you to another episode of If You Don't Like That, brought to you in part by New Works Plumbing of Sacramento. For your plumbing needs and repairs, just go to newworksplumbing.com. That's newworksplumbing.com. Available around the clock for all of your plumbing needs and repairs. New Works Plumbing, they've got a fix for you. That's newworksplumbing.com, newworksplumbing.com. Also brought to you by Bennett's Restaurants. Three locations, Sacramento, Roseville, and the Westside Grill in Rockland. What a great place for your weekend brunch. Just go to bennettsrestaurants.com, make a reservation, and more. Prime seafood and steaks at bennettsrestaurants.com. It has been a week now since the Sacramento Kings were eliminated from any playoff contention. They went from a 3 seed to a 9th seed. They lose to New Orleans for the 6th time this year, and they're spectators this year in the NBA playoffs. So after kind of sifting through things for a week and looking at people's comments and doing several shows over on my YouTube channel, If You Don't Like That, I thought we would review the schedule. And you know, I like to look at games in 5-game increments, right? I don't really like looking at individual games because I don't think it's a true barometer of really how things are going. You're always going to have games that you lose that you should have won and vice versa. You know, you might be on a second night of a back-to-back. You might be playing 3 games in 4 nights in different time zones. I mean, there are a lot of factors. That's why I always look at 5-game increments. So if we start with the first 5 games... at Utah, home Golden State, home the Lakers, at Golden State, and at Houston. The Kings went 2-3. Two of those losses were to Golden State. That's not good. They finished behind you in the standings. Houston also a loss. So for me, in those first 5 games, I'm giving the Kings a C-. Second 5 games, at Houston, home Portland, home Oklahoma City, home Cleveland, at the LA Lakers, 4-1. I'm giving the Kings an A. That Houston game was without De'Aaron Fox. You were able to go 4-1, and I'm giving you a grade of an A. Then you have the Lakers, the Spurs, the Mavs, at New Orleans, at New Orleans. You went 3-2, losing both games to New Orleans. But, you know, again, you had to win a game against the Lakers. You did. You beat Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. And you caught Dallas on a second night of a back-to-back, and you ran them out of the gym. You lose to a New Orleans team that's better than you. So for me, in that stretch, I'm giving the Kings a letter grade of a B. Then you're at Minnesota, home Golden State, home Clippers, home Denver, home New Orleans. You end up going 3-2, winning at Minnesota, their first home loss of the year, beating the Warriors by a point where they were able to force Steph Curry into a turnover, lose to the Clippers, then beat Denver, then you lose to New Orleans. So 3-2, all pretty good teams with perhaps the exception of Golden State. I think that's a pretty good stretch. I'm going to give the Kings right there a B+. Then Phoenix, Brooklyn, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, and Utah. The game at Phoenix and at the LA Clippers were road games. You beat Phoenix on the road, you beat Brooklyn, lose to the Clips, beat Oklahoma City, beat Utah. That's a very good stretch right there. I'm giving the Kings an A. That's a really good part of the season. Then you get towards the Christmas holiday. You beat Washington at home in a shootout, lose to Boston getting clobbered without Jason Tatum, beat the Suns at home, lose to Minnesota at home, lose at Portland. Terrible. You can't be losing to Portland. And, yeah, you're not expected to beat Boston. You lose to Minnesota at home, but that Portland loss, uh-uh. So you go 2-3 in that stretch, and I'm giving the Kings a C for that stretch. Then you start a road trip that goes from Portland that we already talked about, but your next five at Atlanta, at Memphis, home Charlotte, home Orlando, home Toronto. You go 4-1. The only loss was to Charlotte at home, one of the worst teams in the NBA. That's a bad loss. So I can't give you an A there because you really should have gone 5-0. So I'm going to drop it down to a B+. All right, 4-1's good, but that Charlotte game moves the grade from an A down to a B+. Then you start off home loss to New Orleans. At Detroit win, at Charlotte win, okay? Lose at Philly, lose at Milwaukee. So how do I look at that? You go 2-3. You once again lose to the Pelicans. You lose to Milwaukee in a game that you absolutely gave away. So I'm going to give the Kings a B there. Then at Phoenix loss, home Indiana loss. Atlanta win, Golden State win, Dallas win. The Golden State and Dallas games are on the road. So how do I look at those five games? 3 wins, 2 losses, losing at Phoenix, losing at Indiana. I'm okay with that. You won the games against Atlanta, Golden State, and Dallas. I'm going to give you a B for that. January, beginning on the 29th, Jerry Reynolds' birthday, my wife's birthday, at Memphis, loss. At Memphis, win. At Miami, loss. At Indiana, win. At Chicago, win. At Cleveland, loss. You know what? I'm fine with that. You go 3-2. That was that big 7-game trip. At that 5-game stretch, you go 3-2 with wins at Indiana. You know, I'm going to give you a B+ there. That's very good. Then a bad stretch here. At Cleveland loss, home Detroit loss, Denver home win without Jamal Murray, at Oklahoma City loss, at Phoenix loss. I'm giving you an F. I'm giving you an F there. You can't lose to the worst team in the NBA, Detroit at home, 133-120. So I'm giving you an F during those 5 games. All right, then you bounce back at Denver, Valentine's Day. You beat the Nuggets, then beat the Spurs. That was your first game after the All-Star break. Beat the LA Clippers on the road, but then lose to Miami and lose to Denver again, shorthanded. Okay, so what grade am I going to give you there? 3 wins, good. Losing to Miami when they had everyone out because of suspension, bad. Then you lose to Denver, 117-96. I'm going to give the Kings there because of that loss to Miami. I'm going to give them a B during that 5-game stretch. Let's move to March, first game of the month. You win in overtime at Minnesota. Lose to Chicago a couple nights later. Beat the Lakers, beat the Spurs, lose at home to the Rockets. Big win at Minnesota, okay? Bad loss to the Bulls and a bad loss to the Rockets. Can't be losing to the Rockets and the Bulls at home. Can't. Giving them a C. Even though you beat Houston, I'm giving you a C right there. Then, stretch beginning with Milwaukee at home, Lakers at home, Knicks at home, Memphis at home, Toronto at home. You lost to a very good Knicks team. I'm okay with that. You won the other games that you were supposed to win. That's 4-1. I'm giving you an A for that 5-game stretch. Then, a disaster at Washington. Horrible team. Loss. At Orlando, win. Philadelphia, home win. Then the stretch that killed you. 2 losses to Dallas, back-to-back, the 26th and the 29th, both losses. So you go 2-3, and you can split with Dallas, and you lose to Washington. I'm going to give you a D, as in a dog there. All right? Can't have that. Bad stretch. Utah, at-home win. Clippers, at-home win. At the Knicks loss. At Boston loss. At Brooklyn win. You know what? I don't expect you to beat the Knicks on the road. I don't expect you to beat the Celtics on the road. You won the other games you were supposed to. I'm going to give you a B+ there. I'm fine with that stretch. Then, here you go. Final games. At Oklahoma City. Okay? What happened? Loss. Biggest game of the year. New Orleans. Loss. Next biggest game of the year. Phoenix. Loss. Beat Portland. 121-82. I'm giving you an F. All right, you can't lose both games at home, and you can't blow the lead to Phoenix. So to me, you failed coming down the stretch. So when I look at this season, to me, I've already talked about this on some of my other shows, it was disappointing. There's no way you can call this season a success, in my opinion. You can't do it. You were a 3 seed last year in a weaker West, 48 wins. You know, the win total this year is pretty good, but you can't lose to Portland. You can't lose at home to Detroit. You can't lose to Charlotte at home. You can't lose to Washington, right? You can't lose the games that you lost, such as the way you put it on a silver platter for Milwaukee because Malik Monk, I believe, missed 3 or 4 free throws. You can't blow the lead that you blew in Phoenix where you let them go on a 22-3 run to win the game. So that's why, to me, when I look at the totality of the season, it's disappointing. Now, if I were to grade everyone, beginning with the head coach, I didn't think Mike Brown did a great job this year. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give him a C+. You know, I know he had to deal with some injuries, but I didn't think he had a good year. So I'm going to give him a C+. I'm going to give De'Aaron Fox a B, as in boy. I did not think that his year was as good as last year. I was very disappointed in the 3-week stretch in January where he blew off the media. Too many games where I thought he chucked the ball, way too many threes. Thought the defense was better this year for Fox, but his overall floor game, based on my expectations, I'm giving him a B. Let's go to Kevin Huerter. I'm giving Huerter, when he was playing, a D, as in dog, because I felt that he just wasn't very good this year, period. So we'll move on. Let's talk about Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes, to me, is the most underappreciated player on the team. He does a lot of things for the team. He was a starter in every single game this year on a team that won 46 games. I'm giving him a score of about an 80. You know, so that's a low B, right around C+ to a B. And the reason why I'm not giving him a higher grade, there were too many games where his offense was invisible. Now, you can blame a lot of things on that, but Barnes is a consummate professional. He's great in the locker room. He's great with the younger players, and he shows up with his lunch pail every single game. So on a scale of, you know, a 0 to 100, I'm going to give him an 80. I guess technically that's a B. I'd probably give him between a B and a C+, if that's possible. That's why I'm giving him like a 79 or an 80. All right, now to Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray, to me, made nice strides in his second year. But I was disappointed in the inconsistent offense that I saw from the young man from Iowa. I need him to be better offensively. I just do. I think that he has a lot of tools in his toolbox, and I think he will be able to utilize all of those tools in his toolbox in due time. The defense is pretty consistent. You know, I love his just professionalism, his effort. You know, I can never criticize that, but his offense disappears too often for me. So for that reason, I'm giving him about an 85 on a scale of 0 to 100, right? Kind of between a B and a B+ is where I've got Keegan Murray. Sabonis, 80. I can't give him an A+. I'm giving him an A. I'm going to give him about a score of a 95. And the reason why I'm not giving him an A+ is because he had too many games where he missed free throws that really hurt the team. And that is an issue for me. But listen, I think the guy had the best year of any player on the Kings. I love what I saw from him. And for that reason, I'm giving him a score of a 95, right between an A and an A+. All right, let's get to a couple of the key players on the bench. Malik Monk, A. Yeah, I know he had some games where he missed some free throws that were very costly, but the totality of a season, I thought he got screwed. I thought he should have been the sixth man of the year. Nothing against Naz Reid of Minnesota, who's really good, but I thought Monk was the sixth man of the year. He was the runner-up in a very close vote. I'm going to give him an A, though. That's how good he was. What about Keon Ellis? Again, understand that when I give these grades, like I gave De'Aaron Fox a B, I'm basing it on expectations and what I expect based on previous performances, based on what I know. I didn't know a lot about Keon Ellis. All right. What I do know about Keon Ellis now is that he is a legit NBA player. Based on my projections and based on the fact that we weren't even talking about Keon Ellis back in October, I'm giving him an A. I think he deserves an A. I'm giving him a score of about a 90 to a 92. Right around in there. I mean, there's a lot to like, and based on expectations, he overexceeded my expectations. I think he overexceeded the fans' expectations, and for that reason, I'm going to give him about between a 90 and a 92. That's where I put Keon Ellis. All right, let's get to some other players now. Davion Mitchell. I like the way Davion Mitchell played in the final 6 weeks of the season. I really do. But it's an 82-game season. It's not a six-week season. And he clearly showed that when he has to start for Fox when he's injured, he can't run the team. Okay? He just can't. That's not his forte. I love the way he finished the season. Gives me a lot of hope going into the future. But if I look at the totality of the season, I'm giving him around a B to a B-. I'm giving him a score of right around 80 to 82. That's what I have for Davion Mitchell. But I'm very encouraged with what I saw from him coming down the stretch. And we're now going to have to see if he can carry that over to next year. I want to talk about Sasha Vezenkov. I did a show with Ryan in Sacktown yesterday, and he kind of made me think about this twice. I originally gave him a grade of an F, but then Ryan kind of threw in some good things. And he said, Napes, I think you need to look at this again and give him a grade of an incomplete based on all of the circumstances, based on his injuries. And I'm like, you know what? You talked me into that. So instead of an F, because I think he was very disappointing, but based on the injuries, based on coming over to America for the first time as a player, new league and everything else, I am going to give him an incomplete. I'm not down on Vezenkov, meaning that I think he can help the Kings, but this year didn't happen. It did not happen. So I'm going to give him an incomplete. I'm going to leave my mind open to that, but I'm going to give him an incomplete. I just think that's where his game is right now. I have hopes for him, but an incomplete. Trey Lyles, I'm giving him a score of about an 80. You know, I didn't think he played well coming back from the injury. You know, he didn't look like himself, so maybe he wasn't playing at 100%. I think he's a good member on this team, but if I look at the totality of a season, I give him about a B. Now, I'm not going to give grades to everyone, okay? Like, to me, I'm not giving Alex Len a grade. He didn't play enough. I'm not giving JaVale McGee a grade, right? I'm not giving Jones a grade. I'm not, you know, I'm giving the main guys, the guys that played, a grade. And that's how I see this team. Overall, it's a disappointing season. My letter grade for the Kings this year as a team, I'm giving them a D as in dog, because I think that they should have been better. There's no way that you can lose to Washington, Detroit, Portland, and Charlotte. No way you can blow the leads that they blew. So to me, it's a step back. No other way to say it. Play-in does not count as the playoffs. You lost to a team six times in a year. I mean, you look at the difference between New Orleans and Sacramento, and right now it looks like the difference between night and day. You look at Victor Wembanyama coming up through the ranks after his first year. The Spurs are going to have to be reckoned with. You look at Houston. They were knocking on the door to become a play-in team. Maybe they elevate. Denver's going to be good next year. Oklahoma City's going to be good next year. Minnesota's going to be good. Dallas should be good. Not sure about the Clippers, right? Don't know. Don't know about Phoenix. They're getting a little older. Warriors, to me, are sliding. Lakers are sliding. But the West is still a monster. Pelicans are better than the Kings. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. So if I look towards the offseason, first and foremost, they got to find a way to keep Malik Monk. Because as Jerry Reynolds says, you don't become better by losing good players. And Malik Monk is one of Sacramento's best players. So Kings fans, I'm sorry, but to me, this was a disappointing season. And again, my overall letter grade is a D.
It's time for Brent's Rant.
And today's rant is brought to you by Gold Country Veterinary Hospital. They are a full-service hospital. Here's the bottom line. When your pet needs urgent care, they are available. That's Gold Country Veterinary Hospital in Auburn, serving the foothills and the greater Sacramento area. Once again, when your pet needs urgent care, Gold Country will be available. They're full service. They do dentistry. They do orthopedic surgery. Of course, the emergencies. They do it all. That's Gold Country Veterinary Hospital. Also by Foster's and Paws, a group of passionate animal advocates. They work primarily with dogs in shelters. They are looking for fosters, donors, and adopters. Just go to fostersandpaws.org. All right. Seems like with every game, there's talk about the officiating. I did a rant on this the other day about LeBron James, but it's just not LeBron. It seems like whenever a team loses, the first thing I hear about is the officiating. Can we please put that away? Is that because of the gambling aspect that goes on now in professional sports? Because it's not just the NBA, it's other sports as well. But is it the gambling aspect? Because, you know, now people want to make sure that the games are on the up and up and there's no hanky-panky going on like we saw with Porter with the Toronto Raptors who got a lifetime ban. I understand that. But enough on just blaming the officials every time you lose a game. As I said, the Lakers in game two, you know, they were outscored. What were they outscored? 55-22. They were outscored 32-20 in the fourth. They blew a 20-point second-half lead. Don't talk to me about the officials when you blow a lead of that magnitude. I mean, why don't we put out a last two-minute report on all the mistakes that the players make? Pass out of bounds, traveling violation, missed two free throws, missed an easy layup. You know, I mean, we could do that too, because the last time I looked, the games are played by human beings and they're officiated by human beings with the help of replay. I don't expect the referees to be perfect. I never have, and I never will. If you are one of those that are expecting the officials to be perfect, then you're living in a fantasy world, all right? There is no such thing as human perfection. I guess you could say, well, Napes, you know, there are perfect games thrown in baseball. Okay, you win that argument. But I think you understand where I'm coming from. Enough of the bitching and moaning after every game. Take some freaking accountability. Enough already. Stop blaming the officials every time a team loses a game. And that's my rant for today. That is my podcast for today. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. And as always, thank you so much for listening to If You Don't Like That. So long, everybody.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.